Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before. I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thanks. I hope you'll be back. I am D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 060 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on January 2nd, 2012. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students' and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. Yes, it is Monday, and I am back behind the microphone, as in months gone by. It feels great to be back on schedule, and it feels even better to have my E-Rex getting well and me being healthy. Happy 2012! Did you ring in the new year with a large or small celebration? We kept it real quiet with a nice meal and a delicious sparkling glass of de-alcoholized Asti when the ball dropped in Times Square, and that was just fine for us this year. Are you a resolution maker? Customarily, I am not, but this year I'm going to confer with each of my guitar students, and I'm going to have them create a list of goals they should be aware of and working toward. It'll be interesting to see if them having a tangible list will help to keep them moving forward, motivated, and focused as the year progresses with its playing challenges. I'm going to expound a little bit more on this idea in this week's Take Note segment. You may find it helpful to set your sights on a very particular aspect or some aspects of playing this year. If you do, I will be extremely interested to hear some feedback from you as the year progresses. Okay, that's it for this week's intro. Let's move along to the student spotlight. In the warm glow of the student spotlight over the past few weeks, when I was able to teach, there were four students: Arno, Anya, Julia, and Lanny. You have all been fairly consistent, working well, and achieving excellent strides in the improvement of your technique and general musicality. Good for you guys. If you catch this podcast before I see you for your lesson this week, be thinking about what belongs on your list of playing goals for 2012. Students not on this list, get on track. In case you don't realize, I never compare students to each other. I gauge your student spotlight worthiness by what I know you are capable of doing, not by what other students who are of similar playing level achieve. So don't think that darn Julia, if she weren't playing so well, I'd be in the spotlight. That there's nothing could be farther from the truth. There is room in the spotlight for everyone. You need to be working at the peak of your ability to move into that esteemed position. Nothing more, nothing less. Arno, Anya, Julia, and Lanny, excellent, excellent work. That's the way to start a year, is by being in the spotlight first time around. Let's see more of the same. That's it for this week's spotlight. Let's continue to move along to this week's question of the week. The question of the week is from an email I received. Thank you, Tony. He asks, I have four guitars and string changers are a drag. I have a guitar rest and I am thinking of getting an electric string winder. Any reason not to? Well, thank you for the question. No one has ever asked me that question in that manner before, so I will address it. Okay. First, I'll tell you that I am predisposed to doing it manually. I never change all of my guitars' strings at the same time, and I like to have a bit more control than what an electric winder offers. Barring my prejudice, however, there's no reason not to get an electric string winder or a spin doctor, which is a peg adapter for a battery-powered screwdriver. You know, if you already have one of those, no need to get an electric string winder. You know, if you're a real tool kind of person and you have something like that around the house. I would offer you this extremely strong suggestion. Read the directions. If you decide to go with whether it's the spin doctor or any other electric, fully electric, individual unit string winder, I would read the directions 4 or 5 times before you use it. And if you have a quote-unquote junk guitar, or what Les Paul affectionately called his clunker, I would try it on that crummy guitar before you attach anything with a motor to your precious axes. My concern, of course, is overwinding and the harm that could come to your guitar's neck if excessive tension is created by the string being wound too tightly. I mean, it's a much higher possibility with an electric winder than if you do it manually. Which isn't to say people who change their strings manually don't actually tune their strings so tightly that they break the thin ones. I'm not suggesting it's not possible. But the velocity at which the peg is wound with an electric peg winder, or, you know, string winder, you could really, really run into problem. I use manual winders to save my wrists. They have always been fine for me. They speed the process up sufficiently, and I have total control that way. I'm extremely experienced, and I would estimate that I can do a complete string change on any one of my guitars in about 15 minutes, 20 if I'm a little distracted. That's with a manual string winder. Now, that does not account for any of the time I play as a result of changing the strings, and that's usually an uncountable amount of time. But the actual string change probably takes me no longer than 15 to 18 minutes maximum. Now, if you're less experienced than I am, or you have a schedule where you change multiple guitar strings all the same day, all at the same time, the electric string winder might be great. You also might want to consider not changing every guitar's strings the same day every month. You know, you might want to say, well, you know, my acoustic guitar is such and such a day every month, my electric is the 15th, or whatever. Tony, I want to thank you for your email. I have a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick going out in the mail to you tomorrow when the PO opens. Please, if you have a question that you would like to see addressed in this segment, email me at guitartechnique@gmail.com, and it's all spelled traditionally, guitartechnique@gmail.com, no tutor in that address. And if I use your question on the air, I will be delighted to get in touch with you and send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick as well. Thank you very much, Tony. I hope some of you who have been considering an electric string winder got a few answers that you might be interested to have by this segment. And now it's time to move on to this week's news. In the news this week is a mention about some acoustic strings from my preferred string company, DR. In case you haven't heard about Dragon Skin invisibly coated acoustic strings, you should really check them out. Like many acoustic strings, they are phosphor bronze and are available in the usual array of gauges, 10, 11, 12, 1256 for bluegrass, 13, and 1012 for 12-string guitars. Dragon Skin strings have a proprietary patent-pending coating from K3 Technology that makes them the first coated strings that quote-unquote sound as good or better than uncoated strings, close quote. The K3 coding is the first coding that players are reporting this about. You have to understand, the string coding has been around for a while, but it's usually had as many shortfalls or negative aspects as positive, and it's been a real dilemma for guitarists who wanted coded strings. DR's new remarkable proprietary and patent-pending K3 technology coding is the first coding that makes no apologies and no excuses for not delivering sound equal to uncoded strings. Players tell DR that these strings have more volume, less unwanted overtones, greater clarity and articulation than standard uncoated strings, yet they provide the same protection due to corrosion and perspiration, as well as increased tone life for which coated strings have been known. So, you know, you get rid of some of those. You know, we love our stringed instruments, our acoustic stringed instruments, for the overtones, but you're not always getting the overtones that make your music sound great. Overtones occur naturally all the time with an acoustic instrument, and some of those overtones are fabulous and what make the music sound great. But there are unwanted overtones that sound too. It's always a trade-off as to whether the unwanted ones detract from the overall overtones that you do want. So DR strings, they're handmade. They always combine old-fashioned craftsmanship with the very finest American-made materials. You know, if you have been listening to me for any period of time, you know I'm having a love fest with DR strings and have for a very long time. Now, in addition to the Dragon skins, as far as acoustic strings go, DR also offers the usual standbys and more than many string companies. They have rare wound on hexagonal cores. They have sunbeam wound on round cores. And believe it or not, what shape the core of your string is makes a difference in how it sounds. They have a pre-alloy wound on hexagonal cores. They have a high beam 8020. They have zebra wound on round cores. And they have nylon classical acoustic strings. So if you have listened for any length of time, you may remember my revelation last year and my rave about how fabulous the DR nylons are, because I was late coming to the table with those. I've been using DRs on my acoustic guitars forever, really forever. But heretofore, I used a particular combination of a particular brand treble string and a particular brand bass string on my nylon string guitars, and I was in love, love, love with it, so much so that I had tried so many other sets of strings only to be disappointed that I never even crossed my mind to try DRs, despite that I was thrilled with them for every other guitar. So last year, loaded with tremendous deep-seated skepticism, I tried them, and now I wouldn't put anything else on my nylon string guitars. Of course, I'm in love with them and have abandoned my combination of nylon strings that I preferred for decades. My personal sensibilities, my personal musical sensibilities have concluded that for my taste, there's no better string on the planet, acoustic, electric, or any otherwise, than DRs. I hope that if you play acoustic guitar and you, even if you think you have found the strings of your dreams, have an open mind like I did with my nylon strings. You should give these Dragon skins a try. See if you don't get better string life, much less corrosion. I mean, you know, look around at the frets where you usually have discoloration on your fingerboard. I mean, if you're not a very advanced player, that's probably around the third or the fourth fret. Other players find it in other areas where the finish of the strings is absolutely off and your strings are dead. See if these don't give you a lot more life and a much greater sound. Thanks a lot, DR, for yet another fabulous product. Now let's move along to this week's Take Notes segment. Take Note topic this week, as I mentioned in the intro, is about taking inventory of your playing and making a targeted list of goals for yourself. In this case, for the year, or it can be any period of time you desire or are constrained by. Goals for a year are great in that they don't begin with much stress, but they do have focus. Now, you have to modify what I discuss here if you have a shorter-term goal to set, or to reach, I should say, which you might be doing if you have auditions coming up soon or a performance and you're not a regularly gigging musician. Okay, let's say you're a somewhat experienced guitarist, but there are those problem aspects of your guitar playing that you have just resigned yourself to believing cannot and will not ever change or improve. If I mentally survey my students, that area might be rhythm, or it could be ear training, which I can't sufficiently stress is an absolutely necessary skill to develop. Perhaps it's general pick technique or a particular one. Maybe it's that you don't have any original free ideas and you always rely on the same pentatonic scale when you solo. Or maybe it's getting the music you like to play from okay to mastered. Whatever thing it is in your guitar playing that deflates you or make you think it will never change, that's the thing you should put a bullseye on to change this year. I guess half of that battle is to slay your giant or giants, and that's all wrapped up in recognizing it or them and coming to grips with that this dreaded area is the area in which you should focus your attention. This might be more than half the battle, more like 75% of it. We really, as people, we aren't very good at being ruthlessly objective about our shortcomings. We're much better at identifying our strengths and taking credit for them and feeling really good about them. If you know you're not playing as well as you'd like, and you don't even know what's wrong, and you don't have an instructor who can help you, enlist a ruthless ally. Who would that be? Well, it's not a who, it's a what. Use your computer or any other recording device you have at your disposal. I know this is a broken record, and I have mentioned this numerous times in earlier podcasts. I tell my students all the time, record yourself practicing. Don't stop and start, just turn it on and let the recorder record. Then be honest and listen for everything that makes your playing sound amateurish or where there is inconsistency or where you pause or falter or where your speed changes unintentionally or where you're playing buzzy instead of cleanly, etc. It's painful and deflating, no question about it, but it's honest and you can really have a true assessment of where you are. If your giants are not as obvious as the above-mentioned types, they could be one of those stealthy ones that only you know about and you don't like to think about because you know it's a weak area. You might be like a couple of my students who struggle with and would rather ignore their difficulty with ear training. I know this is the second time I'm mentioning it, but it's important. Do you think your deficit with it will just magically improve if you ignore it? Of course not. You have to work on it. What you must realize is that every time you practice doing something that is particularly difficult for you, if you're doing it with the right attitude and you're doing it your best, it's definitely going to improve. It may only improve marginally in the very beginning, but it will improve. You will have to slog your way through, but you will find as you persevere, it gets better. Now, this is the unpleasant part, and most people would really rather not persevere. They would rather not do something that's terribly difficult and that they don't do well. This is where you get strong. This is where the gain is permanent and forever. Ear training, like other things, like understanding rhythm, once you've slogged your way through and become fairly proficient, you never lose it. It's not even like your chops. You know, if you go away on a 2-week vacation and you don't play, you're not going to play the same when you come home as before you left. But the truth is your ear training will be closer to the way you left than your physical dexterity will be. because it's there's intuition and there's mental and audiological interpretation, not just physical coordination involved. Okay, so make a list with your musical aspirations, the things you want to solve once and for all, or a speed or dexterity goal you wish to achieve, or perhaps it's to have a 50-minute set of music mastered, memorized, and ready to play at a moment's notice. There is no goal too small. As a matter of fact, I'd say several small goals are better than a gigantic one. It's like losing weight. If you have a lot to lose and set 10-pound goals, when you attain the first one, you get a sense of accomplishment and you are inspired to continue toward the next one because you see it as attainable and you've already done the hardest one and you know it's attainable. It's not even like it's questionable whether you can do more. I'm speaking from experience here. You know, set little goals. You can definitely lose the weight and you can definitely improve your ear training. You can master a chord progression. You can do anything. You can improve your speed unless you're an extremely advanced guitarist and you've almost broken the sound barrier already. Okay, that's a disclaimer. Okay, so you're going to make your list of a few goals. Then the issue is, how do you attain them? If you have an instructor, rely on them to guide you. And I'm going to stop right there. Let your instructor hold your hand through this and trust how they're going to weave you through what you have to, the obstacles before you, so that you can attain your goal. If you don't have an instructor, you may want to find one. If that isn't in your budget or you can't work it into your schedule, you need to determine what you are going to do differently from the way you have unsuccessfully approached the issues on your list. If it's a problem with speed, nobody likes to hear this, but the answer is to slow down before you attempt to break through, especially if it's a fingering or speed barrier. Either one of those, slow it down. That's the answer. Slow it down, smooth it out, and very gradually increase the speed. If it's a problem with picking, you have to really analyze what you're doing and where you are going wrong and what the solution is. This is far easier said than done. Most of us default into a near autopilot state regarding our picking. That's why a good instructor will be a stickler about how you pick. I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but controlling your pick is huge, especially as you become a more advanced player. It's worth dissecting your playing at any level and regressing so that you can retrain yourself to pick properly if that's something that you have to do. I know it sounds awful. It sounds like you need to go to kindergarten before you can get out of high school. And in some cases, you're going to feel like that, but what you are going to gain in that retraining is invaluable and you need it. Is your ear great, but what you hear doesn't filter from your brain to your fingers? That's a problem for a musician. If you struggle to play a melody you know well, you have a lot of work to do. If you can hear and play melodies fairly accurately, great. How's your ear for chord progressions and solos? Try listening for the bass line of a song or even the melody. The accompanying progression is not random. It's based on the harmonic setting of the melody. You need to know and understand the theory and harmony that your music entails. When you do, you don't have to play in the same safe keys. Then the prison door is open and you're free. I know I haven't been terribly specific here, but I hope my discussion helps you formulate some kind of bulleted list of priorities for your playing in 2012 or in whatever time it is before whatever deadline you have. Keep the goals multiple and incremental. You'll achieve more and will be happy in your pursuit of excellence rather than slavishly overwhelmed. Most importantly, keep playing. When you hit a slump, or dare I say it, when you fall out of love with your guitar, know it's temporary and keep playing. You married people know marriage has all kinds of phases, and there are times when you have more chemistry than others. When there aren't as many sparks, you don't leave your spouse. It's the same with your music. that wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 060. So let's move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. Okay, I think I'm actually officially back. Sorry for all the interruptions and sorry for apologizing so many times. I know it's not necessary, but that's a throwback to another time in my life. I won't do it again. Don't forget that if you're in or near northern New Jersey, plan to visit the Les Paul and Mahwah exhibit at the Mahwah Museum. It's open Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and it is well worth your time and travel to experience it. Also, don't forget to humidify your axe if the heat is on where you live or if the humidity in the air is less than 50%. On Christmas, a guitar player friend I know showed me a clean crack on the soundboard of one of his guitars. It was caused by a mutual friend of ours dropping it. Let's not even go there. But I cautioned him that if he didn't already humidify that guitar, he really should to prevent that crack from worsening from dehydration. A lack of moisture is absolutely the enemy of a wooden stringed instrument. So unless you have a graphite guitar, you really need to be humidifying. Congratulations, Arno, Anya, Julia, and Lanny. I know 2012 holds great things for your playing. Hey, remaining students, there's plenty of room in the spotlight for you. Apply yourselves assiduously, and you will be bathed in the glow, too. Is there anything wrong with using an electric string winder? I guess that depends on your self-control and how high your personal gambler quotient is. If you play acoustic, try DR Dragonskin strings. They're available in all gauges you want, and the invisible, patent-pending formula makes your guitar strings sing even more beautifully than with uncoated strings. Give them a try. Make a list of goals for your playing this year and then get down to analyzing how you're going to accomplish those goals. If you have an instructor, submit yourself to their guidance. Let's see some real musical growth in 2012, gang. Students and valued listeners, I would like to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 060 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, and that is GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com, and that I can be reached by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I'm not a tweeting maniac, and I have not tweeted recently because of all the family health issues, but I will be back on board now that the new year has begun. I tweet to update the people who are following me, and I also retweet what I think is interesting that I receive. On my homepage and on the podcast page of my website, you'll find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways and or to subscribe to the show notes by email or in a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hillburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar or learn to play the guitar better, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.